It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And here we go on a Monday inside Gwynn and Chris here at the Odyssey Palace Studios. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, all getting set for another week of craziness on 97.3 The Fan. And the scene shifts to Yankee Stadium tonight, Game 3 of the World Series. I bring this up because had the Padres made the World Series, guess where the scene would have been shifting to tonight?
San Diego.
Yeah, this would have been our first World Series game. Scraby and I likely would be down at Baja Ricks.
Yeah.
Enjoying a 5-pound seafood burrito.
Yes.
And Tony would be up in the booth getting ready, and the crazy people would be going nuts in the gas lamp, and it would have been. But it didn't. So off we go to New York for Game 3. Obviously, the first two games of the World Series, pretty good. Pretty good. This is why I watched the World Series, Tony. Remember I told you that the one year my team, that year the Angels, got knocked out in a heartbreaking series in the playoff, and I said, that's it. I'm not watching the World Series. And yeah. I missed one of the greatest World Series ever, the 86 Classic between the Red Sox and the Mets. I assume that there was a lot of Padre fans who said, there's no way I'm tuning in to see the Dodgers and the Yankees. I hate them both. That's fair, but you did miss one of the most historic home runs in the history of the game,
yeah,
in Game 1. So that's the risk you take, I guess.
It is. You've had some pretty. You've had a pretty special World Series moment, like something that will be played for years and years and years and years.
That's right.
In the same way that Kirk Gibson's is played today. So, yeah.
Did you see that both of them happened at the exact same time of day? Kirk Gibson's home run happened at 8:37 p.m.
I don't know why I feel like it was during the day that he hit.
No, his was
it's definitely at night.
And Freddie Freeman's grand slam was also at 8:37 p.m.
In the same spot almost, right?
Pretty close. Pretty close in the right field pavilion, that's for sure. They happened, obviously, 36 years apart. But that was some moment, even if you didn't have a rooting interest.
Definitely remember seeing both live.
Yeah.
This remember one, seeing Gibson's, and I remember seeing, obviously remember seeing
you'll always remember this one, too. Yeah, it was, you know, that was honestly, I mean, it's epic, it's iconic, it's all of those things. But probably most importantly, to me, that was the game the Yankees had to have. I mean, they had Gerrit Cole, and he was pitching well. And I still think Aaron Boone took him out of that game too early.
I don't think a lot of people think that.
But, you know, that's for Aaron Boone to deal with. Dodgers rallied to tie once. And then the Yankees had a chance to win again in the 10th inning, and obviously Freddie Freeman took that from them. So I thought the Yankees had to win that game. I don't know if they'll get back in the series. I mean, it seems 2-0 to be very, looking very good for the Dodgers, but I've seen this change.
Seen this in the exact same series reversed.
1981,
yeah.
And also 1978, Tony, the Dodgers did win the first two at home that year. And the Yankees came back and won four straight. So the last two times these teams have played in the World Series, the team has gone up 2-0, has lost. Mm. But history does tell us overall that the team up 2-0 wins about 75-80% of the time. Obviously, tonight's imperative for the Yankees. 3-0 would be almost impossible. It's almost only been done once before by the Red Sox to the Yankees. So, you know, New York's got to find a way. But, I mean, how much trust do you have if you're a Yankee and Clark Schmidt facing this Dodger ball club? I mean, you know, Shohei Ohtani is in the lineup. I don't know that he's 100%, but I don't know that matters. I mean, the Dodgers are, you know, they have found something with Tommy Edman. Obviously, Freddie Freeman swinging it okay. L.A. looks good. Hey, but, you know, to think that the Yankees are going to go away, look at the ninth inning in Game 2. They didn't go away then, nope. So I don't expect them to go away now.
Yeah, no, they won't go away. But I do think it's, you know, it is a big, this is a must win, if
sure.
you will.
Yeah,
right?
The old
they,
must win.
They got to find a way to get going. Aaron Judge has got to find a way to get.
He's got to get cracking.
He's struggling big time.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's mechanics. It just seems like he's not trusting what his eyes are seeing.
Is he trying too hard? He's trying to pull the ball, is he not?
He's making the same out. Every time.
Yeah.
You know, he's out in front of the breaking ball,
almost like he's
running out of bat. And so that would tell you, you know, at least watching it, it just seems like he's got trust his swing a little
Stay
bit more
back.
And let that ball travel to him.
Let it travel. Look at the home run he hit in Cleveland. The great home run he hit in Cleveland was to right field.
You know, the interesting thing, I was thinking about it, he didn't have a choice.
One was such a fastball, he didn't have a choice.
Clase
you're right.
is throwing 98.
You're right, good point.
You got to get it ready. So,
yeah,
but to your point, he's not seeing that type of velocity, except for maybe Kopech late in the game and trying him. But it's just really, he has to get going. That's really the bottom line. Everybody else is kind of doing their thing. Stan's doing his thing. Soto's definitely doing his thing.
Soto is trying to make just a liar out of me. I mean, he's just looking incredible at the plate right now. Almost seems impossible to get him out. I'm trying to hold on to the fact that he hasn't played a perfect right field.
No, he hasn't.
But I don't know that overrides what he's done offensively. Because without him offensively, where would the Yankees be? Yeah. They wouldn't even have a...
They would have been in that game for sure.
Very much nothing. Yeah. So Soto has done his thing. The Yankees are making one change tonight. They're giving up, at least for the night, on Austin Wells behind the plate. They're going to put Jose Trevino in there. Even against a right-handed starter, Trevino will make the start instead of Wells. Trevino did hit that ball pretty well with the bases loaded in game two. I mean, he hits that another 10 feet. You've got two walk-off grand slams in the same weekend.
That would have been wild.
That would have been something. But he hit that well, but they caught it. So the Dodgers go up 2-0. We'll talk plenty about the World Series, of course. The ratings are way up. They're the highest they've been in, you know, World Series for 17 years. But I still say tonight is the question mark because they now go up against even a crappy Monday Night Football game. I wonder if, you know, who's going to win the ratings war tonight?
Didn't we have like a little conversation about bet?
Did
you take our stuff down on that one, Scrape?
It wasn't a bet. It was a big five
big
topic.
Big five. That's
but
what it
you guys yeah. both said that football is going to win out, which I don't blame you. I really wish this game was in New York area. Because it's actually in Pittsburgh, but...
Oh, the Monday night game.
Oh,
yeah.
I was so confused
I wanted
there
to
for
see,
a second.
Like,
I was like, what?
Because over the weekend in L.A., there were lots of unhappy people about the USC crowd. There were lots of unhappy people about attendance here, attendance there.
There was a Laker game and a USC game concurrent with that World Series
right.
game. Anybody who's ever been anywhere near L.A. knows that those three venues are all within 5 miles of each other.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine what that looked like, but... You know, I hope that the I really do.
Work.
I hope the baseball can win the ratings thing tonight because it just the NFL is so powerful, so you know dominant, and I just see the you know Roger Goodell sitting there going, you can't even beat our crappy giant Pittsburgh Monday night game. So we'll see what the ratings are after Game 3
that
tonight.
That is the smug kind of thing.
It
that
is
Roger
smug.
Goodell
he's so
would,
smug.
Would do. He sits back with his brandy and he's like, can't even beat us with Giants and
brandy.
Steelers.
Can't even beat us. You know, next time we'll try to play Patriots Titans for you. See if you can beat that game.
Yeah.
You know,
we're just going to challenge ourselves at this point.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what's coming up here. If you're not into the World Series or haven't been, enjoy some football right here on 97.3 The Fan, 4:30. We'll go to that game.
Real quick, I just want to get off track here.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know that my Lakers are 3-0. to start the season.
I was actually on my list. Of
it was on your list.
Sure.
I don't know if the Lakers are going to make your list.
It was the bottom of the list.
No, it was on the bottom. But I was even going to slip in there that the Bulls beat the Bucks this weekend, which was a shocker.
Did you watch the game at all?
I didn't see that one. Okay. No, I have no trust in the Bulls, and I'm not going out of my way to watch them. But they did win one, so that was good. But no, the Lakers are off to a good start now. You know, they have to go on the road. Yeah. So I think they play tonight, right?
Yes, Phoenix.
In Phoenix. So the Lakers, a good start at home, sure. I mean, and LeBron, anybody who thinks that the guy is just, maybe getting to be a step over the hill.
He's not.
All you got to do is watch the game. Was it Saturday night against Sacramento? Fourth quarter, no one could even come near. Just completely dominated that game.
You know, he had kind of started slow, and slow by his terms, right?
I think
he had like 21 a night, and he had like 25 the next.
Yeah.
And so you start to think, well, maybe this is how it's going to be
slowing
this
down.
Year.
Yeah, sure.
No. And then that fourth quarter took over.
That's against
a good team. Going to be 40 in December.
That's against the Sacramento team that beat them every game last year.
Yeah, it's funny.
He just said, "No, you're not beating us this time this year."
I think what's the point guard for the Kings?
De'Aaron Fox.
De'Aaron Fox said most 39-year-olds are playing rec basketball right now.
If they're even young enough to do that, I mean, I've seen a lot of 39-year-olds out there. Huffing and puffing.
That's what I'm saying.
And LeBron is just out there dominating. So, yeah, the Lakers are off to a good start. The NBA season is rolling. So, we got a lot going on out there. The NFL weekend was highlighted by the Hail Mary thrown by the Commanders, Jaden Daniels, yesterday. And, of course, I guess, probably the Washington fans will remember the miracle that was this play. I think the Bears fans are going to remember poor old number 29.
Tyreek Stevens.
Is that his name?
Yes, sir.
I didn't know his name, but poor Tyreek, who ran down the field just so he could vamp and taunt the Commanders fans down in the end zone. And if you've seen the clip, he's not even looking at the field. His back is to the play.
For like 5 seconds.
For 5 seconds. Yes. The guys are running down the field.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
Yes, he did.
That was
he
an all-time
did.
Example of that. Right?
That
was an all-timer.
That is like, it's not very often in life.
Yeah.
It's instant karma. It only really legitimately happens in cartoons.
It's what you want to see happen, but this
never happens.
Like the guy who buzzes past you on the freeway, and you want you want him to get a ticket. That never happens. But this guy got paid back.
The karma was so rich that he not only refocused, he ends up being the one that actually tips the ball in the air
to the guy for Washington.
To the guy for touchdown.
Yeah. No, the Bears would have been better off if he would have just kept running up into the stands. Because when he returned to the play, noticed that, my goodness, they're actually running down the field. You're right, Tony. He got over there just in time to tip it into harm's way. And Washington got the win.
Now,
so,
to his credit, he did.
He's owned up to it a little bit.
He did own to it.
You know, but I don't know that you can own up to that. I mean, you have to say it.
You have to.
You have to say it.
Nobody's going to forget about it.
There's no way you can be forgiven for that one.
Have you guys seen the meme floating around? Our guys, Thomas and Will, who used to work on the show way back when, they're Chargers fans, and they sent me this meme of after the Hail Mary of Keenan Allen smiling, and it's like he's smiling. They catch him at the wrong time, but on the bottom, it's a guy who's about to be hung. He goes, first time, because Keenan's been through so many terrible, heartbreaking losses
like
as a Charger.
As a Charger,
he's like on the sideline, like I don't really care about.
Yeah,
this.
I've seen Look. This. I've seen this movie before.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Poor Keenan.
You know what? I don't hate Caleb Williams as much as I thought I would.
You shouldn't.
He played
pretty well in the fourth quarter.
That. He had like 36 yards into the fourth quarter.
But then
that
shows a lot of guts, man, to be held down like that and then rally your team. I thought it wasn't bad.
But what I was going to say is that I didn't hate seeing him on the other side of that.
Well, it did happen to him as well.
And I hate the Bears, and I love Jaden Daniels. So,
well, the Commanders won that thriller yesterday. We'll recap the entire weekend in the NFL and are good, bad, and ugly a little bit later in the program. So we are underway. We got a big five for you. Again, we're here in a kind of a quick get-together, 2.5 hours from now until 4:30. And we'll let you in on what else is going on here on this Monday in sports. Game 3 of the World Series, of course, a bit later. Monday Night Football right here a little bit later. More Gwynn and Chris coming up now on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
.20 on the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Cover some Juan Soto news, according to Scott Boras. We'll get into that in a little bit. But first, the disappointing loss of our Aztecs.
A little heartbreaking, I must say.
It was.
I must say.
I thought that game, I thought the way they looked, I thought they had that game. I really did.
You know, we had Coach Lewis on Friday. Felt good about it. Felt good about our interview.
Felt great about it.
Felt like we said all the right things for him to charge the team up.
This is a you thing.
Right, yes. We got him going. And then they led, what was it, 26-14?
Yeah.
Man, two touches in the fourth quarter. And, Washington State has to come back, and they did, give him credit, but... You know, all the things that Coach Lewis said about the previous couple of games, they didn't finish.
That's right.
They did everything right. They did not finish. You got to finish. And they needed one more play to be made somewhere by somebody. You know, and it unfortunately didn't happen. I thought the big one was, I don't know if it was early in the last drive, but Washington State had second and maybe 15. And they had the quarterback
and
sacked.
Ran, yeah.
And he got out. And he ran for a first down. If they get him down there, then it's third and 25. And, you know, it's a whole different story. But finish. It was too bad.
I'll tell you what cost them that game. The incredible amount of penalties that they keep.
Well, they keep getting the
so
penalties.
So I went to the game.
Yeah.
I wanted to catch an Aztec game in Snapdragon. And
right,
it was
good.
It was a good. It was fun to see. Honestly, thought Washington State was just going to beat them like 49-0 after that first drive, but they hung in there. Danny O'Neill comes back in the game after getting knocked out of the game.
This kid's tough, man.
But the opening kickoff return, penalty.
Yeah.
False start
yeah.
in the first drive.
No, they get
and
a lot of
defense,
these.
And then on defense, they had like they had 12 men on the field and then another penalty on the same play. It just keeps shooting themselves in the foot so
yeah.
many times.
Yeah, they're good. You know, they're getting good, but they're still not good enough to overcome that stuff.
Right. Right.
You know?
You need to not have as many of those when you are already trying to
improve your program.
Yeah, yeah.
You're trying to, you know, build your program up and you're running into these kinds of things. And a team that, let's be honest, Washington State's probably a little better than they are. You know, so they were 14-point underdogs. So if you're gonna win a game like that, upset a team like that, you're gonna have to not play perfect football, better.
I wasn't necessarily referring to the program. I'm talking about for this specific game.
Yeah.
You gotta limit those type of penalties. And that being said, I still like where this team is going.
And that being said, they still almost had the game,
I still like where this team is at.
Man. I mean, your guy, our guy, you know, I mean, we're making the guy our guy. We don't even know him. Jordan Napier. The freshman, they run an end around. He throws a beautiful pass for a touchdown. And he was getting tackled on the play. It was not like it was, you know, wide open, completely fooled them. He just made a really good throw on that.
Yeah. And he made a nice catch for a nice little
He had a good game again. And, you know, Cooper scored. Our guy Coop did score two touchdowns. But they just didn't finish. They didn't find a way to put the final nail in the coffin. So, and, you know, look, Washington State's ranked now. They're in the top 25. They're 7-1. This would have been really big for the Aztecs. Confidence and all that.
That's the disappointing part. Yes, the loss is disappointing, but you know, that's a good team that they just they look better than for a large
three and a half
of that
quarters.
Game.
Yeah, they finished up with 8 penalties for 78. Which I must say for them is not bad.
For being in the stands, it seemed like they had 8 penalties on the first drive.
I know. Yeah. I felt the same thing the game I went to this year. It was like, oh, come on. I mean, every play you looked up.
And the field is not in great condition.
Somebody mentioned that to me.
Really bad.
What's the deal with them?
I don't know. There's so much sand on the field.
They play a lot of soccer there.
There's sand on the field?
So much sand. Everywhere they run, they kick up sand behind them.
They usually are doing that when they're receding. That's usually a lot of stuff.
It was not a good
I know they play a lot of, you know,
you got a lot of traffic on those.
There's a lot of soccer matches. I think they play some lacrosse over there for the school.
Rugby.
You know, whatever they got to play. And I'm wondering if the stadium is up to it. You know, as nice, and this is speaking with not really knowing, but maybe, you know, to protect that field, they're going to have to make the difficult decision for some of these minor sports to have to play over on campus somewhere rather than having the thrill of playing in that stadium, because you're right. I mean, the football team deserves a little better look. And frankly, this is when recruits, people like this, see the stadium. On TV football games, right? I mean, if you're a recruit sitting out there and you're watching San Diego State play football, you might say to yourself, man, that field doesn't look very good. So it's just something for them to think about. Again, I'm not speaking with not total knowledge because I don't know what everybody's schedule is playing at Snapdragon, but I know I drive by there often and the lights are on and it looks like there's a game going on.
Or practice or something like that.
Right.
I put up a picture of the stadium and it got a lot of response because all I said was, this place, they need to figure out how to get this place packed, and because it would be a home field advantage. And when you're looking on TV, I didn't even see any of the TV stuff, but if you're a recruit, you're thinking, no one goes to those games. They got to figure out a way to get more people to those games. And the many responses I got, the biggest thing was lower ticket prices, which I totally understand.
Yeah,
and
everybody wants
fees and all of that.
But I think Tony's right, because we talked about it a little before the show. You just got to win. If they were 7-0 right now, there'd be people
different
in that stadium.
100%.
And again, you can't ask them to be perfect, but they got to win more games. They got to beat Oregon State earlier in the year. They got a big win somewhere. And people will pay the money if you're winning.
100%.
And I don't think, if you're not winning enough, just lowering the ticket prices, everybody's going to go, oh, okay, I'm going to go now.
Absolutely not.
I don't think that'll happen, listen, although it sounds good.
I'm not saying that they shouldn't. I'm just saying that doesn't guarantee people will come out.
Yes, just
The proof is in Petco Park. I mean, and it hasn't always been that way in San Diego, right? It hasn't always, I mean, unless, you know, I'm going to say this word, unless you were the Chargers back in the day, right? That's the only ticket that sold seemingly always, right?
Yeah, and even then.
And that's what I'm saying.
Bad.
Like, even when they were good, people showed up.
Oh, when they were good, it was you couldn't get in. But when they were bad, that's why the old, and I don't want to get too deep into Charger stuff, but the stupid ticket guarantee that they made after the Super Bowl was so short-sighted, because they're like, well, we're going to guarantee you a full house, but we don't have to worry about it because it'll always be a full house. Well, they went on, and 5-6 years later, when they weren't very good, the city was paying a ton of money for the empty seats. Because there were empty seats.
The point I was trying to make is that Petco Park now, right, after the Padres started winning, people started
filling it up. Haven't heard anybody complain about the price of tickets at Petco Park the last few years.
Are you being serious?
Well, maybe a few people.
I was going to say.
All right. Let me state this. Let me take two.
I was like, I need to get in your world.
Hang on.
Take two.
I haven't seen people staying away because of the cost of tickets.
Okay, there you go.
The complaints are definitely there.
All right. All of us kind of was like, ruh-ruh.
I gave it a second shot. Gave it a second shot.
But yeah, Aztecs lose a tough one. Now, skip to this Juan Soto deal. Scott Boras doing Scott Boras things, which is trying to get his client as many suitors as possible.
Yeah.
Because that's when he's at his best. When he has a bunch of suitors, this is where he does his magic.
When he's lined up on the pier with his line in the water and there's a bunch of fish right down below him.
He's at his best.
Yeah.
He's at his best. Well, this pertains to the Padres because he made note that Juan Soto wouldn't even be available right now if Peter Seidler, our late owner here in San Diego, was still around.
Not a fan of this at all.
Why?
Of the statement made.
Why?
Do we think it's 100% true?
Here's the exact quote from Peter, or not Peter Seidler. Oh, I just closed the page on accident.
From Scott Boras.
Yes. All elbows and kneecaps.
Here it is. If Padres owner Peter Seidler were still alive, none of this would be happening. Juan would have been with the Padres. He never would have been traded to the Yankees. He'd be a Padre today. Peter and I were knee deep in Juan Soto contract discussions, well advanced. His illness really stopped the process because we knew the organization would be different. He wanted to push it through even though he was ill, is what he told Bob Nightingale.
I don't disagree. I don't not believe the guy. I can't believe he'd just be a liar.
Yeah.
But also, there was the fact of the matter that the Padres did have to get below the luxury tax, or they were going to face incredible taxes on their payroll, like millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars if they hadn't have got under that. So for Scott Boras to be true, Peter Seidler would have had to agree to all of, in his own mind, would have had to agree to all of that.
I mean, not necessarily. There would have just had to be more maneuvering that we, from what we saw.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, they wouldn't have been able to put together the same team.
That wasn't really the consequence, though.
Right.
The question was, could they have been able to do it, and or would they have done it? And I think I believe it. I do believe it, but that's not how it ended up rolling. The Padres ended up having to move them, and it put them in the position that they got into this year, which was a really good ball team.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with how it all turned out as a Padre. I know it's difficult to say right now while Juan Soto is starring on the biggest stage, but, you know, for the longest time, I mean, we got, you know, great value in return for Soto, and, you know, he's going to go on and make an inordinate amount of money in his next contract.
Ken Rosenthal was talking about this. He said that he thinks he'll be able to beat Ohtani, not from the standpoint of how much, but the AAV. You know, I think because after you
annual
like do the
average value,
I think they after you like calculate it, it's like. What is it, like 41 point something on the
Ohtani?
Yeah,
it's like 41 or 44.
44 something.
It's in
like,
the 40,
he
low
thinks
40s.
He'll get over that particular number. Now, how it looks in years and total amount, I think we'll find out. But
and I'll just throw this out there because I feel like a lone wolf, but I'm okay. I don't want Juan Soto.
I
don't want him here.
I think we're missing the point.
I don't think it worked the best. What's the point?
The point is that Scott Boras is saying something that cannot be confirmed, and it seems like an opportunity for him to... I don't know what he's doing. It doesn't sit right with me that he's bringing up this news when Peter Seidler's not here to confirm that this was
or
the
deny
case.
It.
Or deny it.
Do you think... All honesty, do you think Peter would confirm it if he was around?
I think we would know because Juan Soto would either be here or he wouldn't be here. But
maybe so. I think this is a silly thing to be upset about. I don't know that it has any relevance other than the fact that he was making a point that we wouldn't even be having these free agent conversations.
The relevance is that this changes the entire landscape of Padres baseball forever. If Juan Soto signs a long-term deal.
Where?
Here. But with what Boras is saying. It changes everything.
It doesn't change anything because he's not signing a deal here. But it didn't happen.
I know it didn't happen, but I just don't like when someone speaks for someone who is not here to give their side of it. As a Padre fan, aren't you a little
No, this
perturbed?
Is ridiculous. We're making a lot out of nothing.
Really?
At this point. Yes.
Chris?
I'm not sure. Oh. I mean, I feel like it's something. I feel like it's something because what Scraby's saying is that if Scott Boras, what he said is true, we would know either Soto would be here or he wouldn't, and we wouldn't have to deal with this. Like, if he wasn't here, Scott Boras wouldn't come out and say this. But since Peter Seidler's not around and Juan Soto's not here, Scott Boras can say this.
Or
we don't know whether he's telling the truth.
Okay.
I'll give him the credit. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but it's just, I don't know why it needed to be said to begin with. I know Tony.
Anyway, all right, let's get to break. Big Five on the other side. More Gwen and Chris.
All right, 2:38 is the time. I tried to think of something during the entire break, how we could kind of put a bow on the Juan Soto thing. But I don't think there's a bow to be put on it. I'm not a fan of Juan Soto, the player. I don't think Scraby's a fan of the whole Juan Soto, the situation. I don't think Tony is a fan of Juan Soto, the player, and a fan of Juan Soto, the situation. So we will all just have to agree to disagree. And there's nothing wrong with that. Right now, the Yankees have him. There's rumors that the Dodgers are going to go after him. And there are no more rumors that the Padres will ever go after him again. So I think that kind of puts the bottom line.
And that's the bottom line.
That's
Stone
the bottom line.
Gold
we're never going to get him again.
So
we had him. We don't have him anymore. We can either cry or not over spilt milk.
I can't remember the writer. May have been RJ Anderson that counted the Padres in for the Juan Soto sweepstakes.
This year?
Yes. I'm not saying that that's true.
Okay.
But he did write it, and I do trust him.
No, yeah. I don't.
Tony says, yeah, and Chris says, I don't.
I don't trust that. 2:39 is the time. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby, all Giants, Steelers. Doesn't get a whole lot better than that.
Let's ride.
Oh, yeah. Russ Wilson will be in action tonight. Good point.
Let's go, Russ.
Yes, sir. Steelers can go into first place tonight because the Ravens lost to the Browns, stuff we will all discuss in our good, bad, and ugly a little bit later on. But right now, Scraby's going to take us around the sports world with a Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only...
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
One thing that will always be true is that Steelers fans are very loud. We talk about the Steelers for 5 seconds, and the resident Steelers chat fan, Katrina, says, "Here we go, Steelers."
That's what I like.
Steelers fans are just so loud. I can't handle it.
You know what
kind of fans are loud. 49er fans are loud.
No, and 49er fans are annoying first, oh, yeah, loud first. Second.
There you go.
Okay, all right. I'll take it because even though they almost gave that game away last night, they still won.
Thank goodness for that.
Yes.
Number five.
That was one of those win-wins for me. If, like, Dallas lost, I would be happy because I know a few Dallas lovers out there.
Oh,
I'd
yeah.
be able to rib them. If the 49ers lost, I'd be able to come in here on a Monday and give it to you. So
yeah.
it was a win-win for me.
I did get nervous. I almost called in sick when I felt like it was going the other way.
The 49ers have some issues, Scrabe. I'm telling you.
I don't know that they're just going to roll through
the rest of their schedule. I've been convinced about them that they're great, you know, all season. But now it's getting to the point where I'm starting to wonder.
They're going
to
get some of their defense back. This is not the 49ers hour. This is the Big Five, and
Let's
it's
go.
Brought to you by Summit Subaru of El Cajon. See all the two ways to save right now at summitsubaru.com.
Number five.
Now, guys, Jackson Merrill, we buried the lead of this entire show. Jackson Merrill won the MLBPA National League Most Outstanding Rookie Award, which is voted on by other players, and so Before I'm accused of clickbaitery.
Clickbaitery again.
Which I apparently am the king of clickbait
you
now.
You are.
I titled the YouTube today, Jackson Merrill wins his second Rookie of the Year award. So, Chris, with this award being given from the players, am I guilty of clickbaitery?
Yes.
How?
Because
this is the second award.
It's a beautiful thing that nobody's going to remember a year from now, maybe even 6 months from now, unless he wins the Baseball Writers Award. If he wins that award and his name goes into the history books as the Rookie of the Year, then it's all spectacular. If Paul Skeens wins the Baseball Writers Award, no one's going to remember these other two awards. That's just how it works. Fair or not, that's how it works. So, yeah, for you to write, Jackson Merrill wins Rookie of the Year, is total clickbait because he hasn't yet won it.
I don't agree.
Would you like
me
to add to that?
No, I don't agree with your opinion.
Did I not make it perfectly clear what I meant?
You seemed a little puzzled by his answer.
By the way, Google, I was puzzled by his answer, and Google Docs will not allow me to spell battery. It keeps changing it to battery, so I was about to read click battery again. Tony, am I guilty of click battery?
You're guilty.
Second award.
Of click battery. It kind of goes with us burying the lead. We buried the lead because it's not a real award. I mean, it's a real award, but it's not the award. Yes, I think Jackson should be proud of this one. His peers picked it, which probably means more to him in some ways than the regular one would. However, your premise and title is clickbaitery on 10.
On 10?
Back-to-back times. Now, you have clickbaited people into clicking. And I will say it's a good job on you because it gets people to click.
No, I stand up to clickbait.
No. You are a part of the clickbaitery union.
You totally are. But I have clicked on every one of these stories that keeps popping up that says Jackson Merrill wins Rookie of the Year. And I'm like, really? Wait, I don't think they announced it yet. So
well, they got you to click.
You're doing exactly what you intended, but it is total clickbait.
See, I will say that I am maybe misleading, but
that is clickbait.
But I'm giving misleading the true story. He has won two awards for NL Rookie of the Year.
Misleading might as well be the wife of clickbait.
Why don't you just say that the Padres won the series? And when somebody says, no, they didn't, you say, oh, yes, they did. They won the Braves series.
That is something
I would do. That's just how much of a lie you're doing with Jackson Merrill.
Nathan says, Scraby is a master clickbaiter.
I don't
agree with it at all.
Number four. I'm just glad that he put the click in there.
Yes, me too. Friday night was a big night for the sports scene in L.A. As much as that sentence makes me want to throw up, it's true, everybody. They had World Series Game 1 happening, a USC football game against Rutgers at the Coliseum, and then an NBA game at the Staples Center with the Lakers. A picture was taken by someone at the USC game and tweeted the photo out of the attendance just prior to kickoff. It was not looking very good, so I'm going to put it on to the YouTube right now, the photo of USC. So, Chris, there you go. Tony, there you go. Not many people in the audience. Matt Leinart, he's a USC legend if you didn't know. He quote tweeted the picture and said, that's sad. So my question for you guys, Tony, is this an indication of where USC is at, or are there valid excuses as to why the stadium was empty?
How about both?
Okay.
They're not necessarily winning at the expectation level that they were supposed to. And I think Matt has to chill on this one, man. This ain't the 2003 USC Trojans.
He would love them to be.
I think everybody who was connected to USC would love that
longer,
to be.
Yeah.
That is not the case. Not to mention, my guy, there was a Dodger-Yankee World Series literally down the street.
Yeah.
Not on top of that, the Lakers were also in town playing.
Down the street.
Down the street. So I'm just saying, I know SC's a big deal or was a big deal. They've never been a bigger deal than either the Dodgers or the Lakers.
And that's, they're not. No, they're not.
And that's And so if you're playing on the same day as those teams in general, you're going to lose. But if you're playing on the same day as a World Series, you're going to lose.
It's not their fault.
No, it's not.
I blame Fox for this 100% because Fox is the one that sets up the Friday night game of the week. And it just so happened this week was USC. And USC wants the money that goes with that. So they didn't fight to change the date of the game once the World Series was announced. And it was probably too late to do so. If you want to play a game and get a full crowd on the same night as other LA events, you got to play when the Clippers are playing or when the Chargers are playing.
1,000%.
Not the Dodgers or the Lakers.
Apparently, Big Poppy said, there is a sigler and a truck jackknife. We're never getting out of here.
Wait, what happened?
About the traffic. Big Poppy said that.
Yeah.
There might be a few people still stuck in traffic.
Do you remember Carmageddon? Someone brought that up to me the other day when they were like shutting down all the freeways in LA, and they called it Carmageddon because there's going to be so much traffic.
I don't remember that, thankfully.
Oh, thankfully, he says.
That sounds horrible.
All right. Yesterday during the
Number three.
Yesterday during the Saints Chargers game, Justin Herbert was sacked by Saints defensive tackle Nathan Shepard, but then Shepard grabbed the ankle of Justin Herbert and started twisting. It started to look like the technique called the Gator Roll, which some in the game are very upset at this and think a fine is not going to be enough. I have the video up on YouTube right now if you would like to see it. And if you are in your car, you can just go back, search YouTube 97.3 The Fan, and then click on the Gwynn and Chris recording. But it does look like a dangerous play. I have to say, it's not the cleanest thing in the world. So with that said, guys, who's up first here? Chris, do you think a suspension is warranted for this play?
First of all, I think number 75. I think number 75 on the Chargers should be given a Medal of Honor.
For sure.
For racing over and knocking the guy off of his quarterback. That is the kind of thing.
He kind of belly flopped on him, too.
He crushed the guy and pushed him off the pile. I'm telling you what, that will get you a Rolex from your quarterback down the road, if not today. That was a really good teammate move. Secondly, I thought it was a cheap play. And I really can't believe that the official standing right there didn't throw a flag for that. And I think that maybe a suspension might be too much, but at least a fine that out, so the other defensive lineman in that same position will let go of the guy's leg. It was, you know, Justin Herbert. I'm very surprised he didn't get hurt on that.
Yeah, he was trying to get his center from not getting kicked out of the game, trying to get him off the pile.
His center was ready to crash out.
His center was ready to go.
For sure.
Like, there was no thought towards it either.
If Justin Herbert didn't start to try to peel him off, he would have kept going, for sure.
He might have started throwing haymakers.
I think that was the next step, honestly.
Referee might have got hit by a few because he tried to dive in there for a second, which is not a real smart move, but hey.
Tony,
yes.
Do you think a suspension is warranted for this play?
I agree, Chris. A suspension might be a little much, but a hefty fine should do the trick. And that one that is put out there.
Yeah, publicized.
Because you hear players often talk about not wanting to lose any money due to something that, you know, they deem as, you know, inappropriate. So make it high enough to where it puts all the defensive tackles' ends on notice.
All right, let's move on.
Number two.
Now, after the 49ers win last night, Nick Bosa crashed the post-game interview on the field, and when he did, he didn't say much. He just ran up to the interview with a Make America Great Again hat, and then he ran off. The issue for people is not really crashing the interview. It's after the game when reporters asked him about it. Here is Nick Bosa after the game being asked by reporters for his thoughts on wearing the hat in the post-game interview.
Appear to be a political statement. I'm not going to talk too much about it, but I think it's an important time.
That's all he said about it. He did not want to talk about the hat that he wore in the post-game interview. So, Tony, you're up first. If you wear a hat on TV, should you at least address it later?
I think, in all honesty, I think he did address it. I think
by what he said. It's an important time.
It's an important time. Now, I don't think it really needs to be addressed. I think you know where he stands at this point. He wore the hat, right? He wore the Make America Great Hat. Make America Great Again.
Great would be a great. We need to make those knockoffs right now.
But I would have felt differently had reporter asked and he had like an attitude about it, like, how dare you ask me? Yeah.
Right.
But he didn't. He's basically gave all he was going to give, and I think that is honestly good enough.
Chris? I'm not going to give any more. I'm not going to talk about it either. I think that it's an important time.
I was like, is he doing what Joey Bosa just did?
Do you see this thing over there? It's a 10-foot pole. I'm not going anywhere near that question. Sorry.
I don't know. I will openly say the guy on my team who had a great game, I don't care about him doing it, but you have to be able to answer a question later.
He answered
he
it.
He did.
He didn't answer it, though.
He answered it. He didn't give you the answer that maybe you wanted, the juicy one.
It's an easy way
he
out.
He definitely did not. It would be hard to find any fault in what he did by the way he answered that. Now, if he would have been rude and like acted like, I can't believe you were even asking me this right now in front of, that would be different. But he did. It might not have been the juicy.
We're running out of time in this segment.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, we were having a great conversation.
No, we're not.
Chris just doesn't want to talk about anything political for some reason.
Chris is trying to get about
it. Can't imagine why.
I was about to say something that I will not say.
Don't do it.
Game one of the World Series ended in historic fashion with Freddie Freeman hitting a grand slam, a walk-off grand slam. But during the game, we had a little bit of fan interference, or actually a lot of fan interference. The Dodgers fan reached over the wall after a deep Gleyber Torres ball and did make the catch, but Torres had to stop at second because of the fan interference. Chris, are you okay with the current rule of it being only a double?
Yes, I wish they would have had the rule way back when Jeter hit the ball and Jeffrey Mayer famously leaned over and caught the ball. That should have been a double too.
Yeah.
So we're lucky that we have replay and could get the call right.
All right, okay. I don't know what he's.
I'll tell you one
about,
thing. If
sure.
that would, if they
you don't remember the Oriole game, he had a ball and the Tony, I think it was Tony Tarasco, lost his mind with that.
Yeah.
The right field ump was standing right there and ruled
it a home run.
Yeah, I do remember this.
But
now,
here's the thing: had they got it wrong and ruled it a home run, that Dodger fan would not be alive today.
Yeah, they have.
No kidding.
I mean,
no
what kidding. Would the fans have done to this poor guy?
Tony?
Yeah, you thought
you okay
Chicago was bad. Yeah, I'm okay with it. I think should stay this way, for sure.
All right. The guy made a great catch, though. That's not an easy catch.
Whatever.
Leaning over the wall.
Just wait till the ball goes over the wall, please. We gotta
all
get
right.
The
Daily Gambit when we get back, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.